to you by Penguin.
If Only They Didn't Speak English by John Sopel, read by me, John Sopel. Foreword. Some books are the result of a blinding flash of inspiration. Others have the gestation period of an elephant. This book, and how in tune with the 2016 madness and Donald Trump zeitgeist is this, is the product of a tweet. I'd been on BBC Radio 2 with Simon Mayo, talking about some aspect of the presidential election campaign, when I received a tweet from a man purporting to be a literary agent. He said he'd like to talk to me, as it seemed I could tell a story. Unusually for Twitter, he turned out to be who he said he was. So I spoke to this charming and clever man, Rory Scarfe, and he suggested I scribble a few hundred words of what I'd like to write about. This, I thought, would be enough to secure a big fat literary contract. But no. He now wanted 15,000 words to show to publishers, and I thought, well, that is simply not going to happen. Too busy with a presidential election to cover. And this is where my wife, Linda, intervened. We were about to go to Barbados with our kids, who live and work in London, and assorted friends. I'm not the best person at lying around on a sun lounger, and it's said I can be annoying to others who are happy to do nothing but read books, listen to their music, and soak up the sun. So I was told in no uncertain terms that instead of irritating everyone, I should start work on the book. And each morning, in this little piece of paradise, in the aptly named Villa Eden at Sugar Hill, I'd sit in the gazebo and write. I also spent a good deal of last summer in the Hampshire garden of my oldest friend, Pete Morgan, trying to make progress. Linda has also been a source of brilliant ideas about how the book could be improved, what should be included, and what left out. That was the start. For getting it finished and getting a whole bunch of half-formed ideas into a vaguely cogent shape, I need to thank a number of people. Most of all, my editor, Yvonne Jacob at BBC Books, who's been a source of endless enthusiasm and encouragement. My brilliant colleague and friend from New York, Nick Bryant, who read the manuscript and offered really perceptive observations. BBC bosses get a bad rap, but I want to thank them for being so supportive in this endeavour, particularly Paul Danaher, the bureau chief in Washington, who would, on the rare quiet days, let me slip away to write. He was the person who, when we were discussing some extraordinary aspect of the campaign and the problem of explaining the craziness and foreignness of it to our British audience, said, "If only they didn't speak English." I thought to myself, now that would one day make a great book title. Malcolm Balin in London tried to keep me free, fair and impartial with what I've written. And then there's the team, my cameramen John Landy and Ian Druce, and producers Lindsay Garrison, Sarah Svoboda and Rosalia Haristova, who've been the band of brothers and sisters and shared so many of the experiences that have formed the backbone of these succeeding chapters. They deserve a huge thank you too. Without Jonathan Shapo to sort, fix and manage in the bureau, I'm not sure I'd be able to function. And of course, this book is only possible because of all the people in all the places we've met and interviewed along the way. Without this becoming like an Oscars speech, where the music wells up to drown out the person spending far too much time gushing at the microphone, I want to say one other thank you. The family across the street from us in Washington are the Powells. I mention them in the book. When we arrived, they couldn't have been more welcoming to us. And they were a constant source of insight and stories, invariably over a Negroni or two. As I was finishing the book, Elizabeth, at the age of 39, was diagnosed with, and died 2 months later from, a rare and aggressive form of lung cancer. As a family, they're all that I love about America. Positive, optimistic, kind, decent. So this is to Jeff and his two beautiful children, Eleanor and Charlie, and in memory of an exceptional woman. Introduction. We're going to play a game. I'm going to say a name, and I want you to write down what comes to mind. Okay, let's start. New York. I reckon you're going to put skyscrapers, shopping, the Empire State Building, steam rising out of vents, cycling in Central Park, yellow taxis, Broadway, bustle, Trump Tower.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?